This is the Illuminate Podcast, a Sandy Boy production. Each week on the Illuminate Podcast, the hosts will bring you insightful conversations and stories of people who are illuminating their own lives through their business, work, community, family, and world.
Hello, and welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emmy Birch, and today you get to meet my friend, Kiwan Drayton. Kiwan is an amazing entrepreneur, and in this episode, we talk about what it means to be an entrepreneur, how you can get started down that path if you have an idea, and what common things entrepreneurs think, do, breathe, all the ideas. It's a great conversation, and you're going to love some of the quotes that come out of it, too. In this episode, we talk about where Kiwan came from and the story of how he got into being an entrepreneur, and then what his dreams are for the future. We recorded this episode live. It's my first time ever doing a face-to-face interview, and I'm really excited to bring it to you. There are some interesting noises in the background because we recorded it live at the cafe where Kiwan is one of the partners. So it was a lot of fun to see the hustle and bustle of life at his incredible place of business, but also to be able to do this episode face-to-face. So forgive any of the weird sounds, but hey, how cool is it? We did a live recording. I hope this episode inspires you to go after whatever you're dreaming, that it gives you ideas for how to take steps towards that. And if you are not an entrepreneur, I hope it helps you understand those people around you that have entrepreneurial mindsets, because it's such an interesting conversation that we have. It's so much fun to illuminate stories like these, and I am thankful to be able to bring them to you. Please let us know what you're thinking. You can follow us on all the social media platforms, the Illuminate Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can also support the show over at the Illuminate Pod on Patreon. That's enough announcements. Let's learn about the chain reaction that is entrepreneurship with my friend, Kiwan Drayton. Today we are live together in person. This is the coolest thing ever. I am so excited to illuminate the story of my friend, Kiwan Drayton.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I'm happy to be here.
I'm thankful that you are taking time out of your Friday to let me ask you some questions and really, I know I've already said it, but illuminate the awesomeness of who you are as a person. Y'all, I've had the privilege of watching Kiwan do really awesome stuff in the city of Savannah, and we became social media friends. And after the first or second post, I'm like, hold up, this guy is authentic and inspiring, and he's perfect for the Illuminate Podcast. So thank you for finally coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Will you tell the listeners, who are you? Where are you from? Give us a little background.
Yes, so I'm Kiwan Drayton. I'm born and raised here in Savannah. Grew up here. I went to Jenkins High School. That's where I graduated. And immediately after I graduated high school, I went to Tallahassee Community College for 2 years. And then from there, I went to Florida State and studied criminology, criminal justice. Played around with, you know, entrepreneurship and criminology and just all these different things. And then I thought that, hey, I think sounds good. I might want to be an attorney. But at the time, I only thought that being an attorney meant, you know, criminal cases and stuff like that. So over time, I started learning more about entrepreneurship. And then after learning more about entrepreneurship, I started learning more about the different types of law, such as business law, contract law, real estate law. And then I say, you know, that doesn't sound too bad. But then I also started learning a lot about finances and money and how, like, you know, law school isn't free.
Right.
So focus less on law school and more on entrepreneurship, and then just found my niche kind of in that area. And now I kind of just go back and forth between, you know, different businesses that I run here. Red Eye Film Productions, which is a film and video company where we create content for different brands here in Savannah and also surrounding areas. And that turned into the Savannah Underground, which is an immersive experience here in Savannah where we take some of Savannah's most prolific horror stories and we reenact those stories out in front of a live audience. So I like to tell people that part of the business, I scare people for a living.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work with a lot of business developer people that are looking to start businesses. What's that?
Yes, so that's kind of me just independently. So I do a lot of volunteer work in the city where, and that's through like SCORE and also through like the chambers, the Greater Savannah Black Chamber of Commerce. So anyone who's kind of looking to break into business, but they don't know where to start, or they're kind of just paralyzed by fear, or they're letting the lack of having access to capital kind of stop them from pursuing their dreams or passions of becoming an entrepreneur. And I kind of help them break that. And that's one of my, it's one of the things I really like to do, because when people work with me, I like to see them go from, you know, having this big vision that they thought was unrealistic to now being able to do things that they can start today.
Okay, so we're going to go back and talk about more of these, but I want to talk specifically, how did you find these clients that you're helping break through the barriers and get into business?
Yeah, so usually it's all like chain, it's all a chain reaction. I tell people that all the time. It's like every single opportunity is an opportunity for something else. So for example, you know, 2 years ago I started working with the Greater Savannah Black Chamber of Commerce. Just, you know, kind of being an advocate for different people who didn't have, who felt like they didn't have access to information or didn't have access to capital, and kind of helping them figure out, you know, well, let's figure out why you don't have the information, where the information should be coming from. And, you know, so doing that over time, I met new people, and then people wanted to work more with me and have more in-depth classes. Then I became a SCORE mentor, and SCORE opened me up to a new world of different clients who needed more information. I started working with a larger, more diverse group of people. Then I started to see that, you know, it's not just people who don't have businesses that need the help. It's people that are, who have been in business for years, that need the help as well. And then last year, I won Entrepreneur of the Year from the Savannah Area Chamber. And that opened me up to another world of people. Right. And now it's just like, you know, I'm kind of a person who just wants to be a middleman resource for people who just need information.
I love that. A middleman resource for people who need information. Mm-hmm. What's SCORE stand for?
I have no idea what SCORE stands for, but I do know that SCORE, like, we are a like a consulting firm for people who are looking to start businesses, and they're looking to work with someone who already has experience in that area. And my job is to mentor people who are looking to bring into entrepreneurship with little to no capital.
Okay, so you have a really specific niche. Uh-huh. I'll make sure I link SCORE in the episode
Absolutely.
Notes. How did you get into all of this business consulting and helping, but also film and scaring people for a living? How do those things tie together?
So getting into it, it's all, like I said, it's just all been a chain reaction as to balancing my own entrepreneurial career along with community work. So the community side of it allowed me to kind of see what the need in the community was. And obviously I was able to provide, you know, advice and feedback on those things, because I also am a newer entrepreneur. You know, I've been running Red Eye since like 10th grade of high school.
Whoa.
But, you know, in high school there was no formality to it. It wasn't organized. It wasn't a legal entity. It was just a hobby. And honestly, that's the case for a lot of people who jump into entrepreneurship. They have been doing something for as a hobby for so long, and now they're looking to turn this into a business, or maybe their employer has, you know, upset them, and they're like, you know, that's that one thing that took them to say, I'm gonna take my hobby serious. Mm-hmm. And I'm that person that's there that say, like, you know, you should take this serious, and this is how you do it. These are the resources. This is, like, you know, what you should do in the next 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. And I can kind of help them, you know, break their big vision down and make it more realistic for them.
That's so exciting. I know that I've met a few of the businesses that you've worked with, mm-hmm. and some of them are so exciting to watch. The Shindig event. That's so cool, y'all. Their social media is the bomb. I'll have to get them on the podcast at some point.
Oh, yeah, they're really cool.
Susanna, they're really thriving.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're a really good example. Like, they, I work with them on their business pitches, so that way whenever they get ready to pitch to different investors or things like that, they know exactly what information they need to have and how to communicate that that message in a very creative way that shows exactly what it is that they do. So yeah.
So that's an example of a success story. So someone listening that has an idea or a hobby or is in that current state of fear, mm-hmm. what is the what are your tips for getting out of that situation?
Yeah, so just to start somewhere. Like, you know, most of the time people, the fear is not in what they're doing. The fear is more so in the legalization and the formality of doing it. You know, a lot of people think that when they're jumping into entrepreneurship that everything has to be by the book. And, you know, eventually things should be by the book, but when you're getting started, you know, just have fun with it. Figure out how to master your product or your service, and then the formality of it comes later. And then when, you know, eventually that's easier, you know? So that's the biggest thing, is getting people to just get started, take that first leap.
Take the first leap. And mm-hmm. So master your craft, get started. When should someone reach out to someone like you to get into those next steps?
The sooner the better. I tell people all the time, like, you know, don't wait until you're faced with a situation that can, like, rip you apart, or don't wait until you have to sign a lease agreement for 12 months and have a large amount. You know, start seeking out help immediately, while it's an idea, mm-hmm. you know, because that's when people have the most flexibility to help you. You know, there's not much I can tell you after you've made a lot of big decisions on your own. But, you know, in that early stage, I can give you a bunch of different tips and pointers and help you understand, you know, what the next, you know, the next few months should look like for you.
So when you talked earlier, you said a lot of times people are paralyzed by fear or don't have access to tools and resources. Mm-hmm. Let's have that tough conversation. What are some of the accessibility problems and how can we all get behind and help fix that?
Yeah. So for example, some people are looking to jump into entrepreneurship, and one of the biggest barriers is money. That's a lot of people have. Another barrier is time. And, you know, kind of trying to figure out, you know, how to bridge the gap and find that balance between money and time, and, you know, figuring out where the resources are, you know, because you hear all these different things about grants being available here and money being available there, or you can get a business loan. But, you know, people talk about it in this, they talk about it as if it's that simple, but it's not as simple as, you know, going online and applying for a grant.
Right. Grant applications are no joke.
Yeah. But, you know, so that presents an accessibility issue. You know, what happens to the people who don't have access to a grant writer, or who can't afford to pay a grant writer to get a specific grant, you know?
Have 1,500 hours on their own to write their own grant.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's valid.
So it's like, how do we create a system, or how do we create a process that makes that piece of the system? And that's just one piece to a bigger puzzle.
Right.
So it's like, you know, how do we help people with that? You know, people talk about getting business loans, but mm-hmm. people never talk about how, if you want to get a business loan, you have to have good credit, you have to have collateral, you have to have all these different things that you need, that, you know, if somebody loans you money and you can't pay that back, what are they going to come take from you?
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't talk about those small things. So, you know, being able to be a resource before people go spend a ton of money on finding somebody to consult with them, I just want to be that person that people can have a conversation with and kind of give them, you know, get them in a frame of thinking where it's like, okay, this is what I need to consider before I go talk to somebody.
Okay, so you're basically helping consolidate the thought process in where it's going.
Yes.
So for an entrepreneur with a hobby that's looking to turn it into a career or a side hustle or something, mm-hmm. I can see that, like a big picture, and you help focus them in the direction they can go.
That's exactly what it is. So if you came to me, you said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, starting my own choir, and we're going to go travel, you know, nationwide, and we're going to go on a European tour, and we're just going to do all these great big things, I'm going to say, okay, M, like, what are you doing in Savannah right now?
Right.
Like, how are you going to be able to, I get that you want to go on a European tour, but how are you going to fund that? Like, can you go afford to pay, you know, $1,500 for a round trip ticket for the 50 people that are in your choir mm-hmm. right now to do a European tour? Are you going to be able to do that 10 times?
Right.
If you can't, let's talk about what you can be doing right now here in Savannah, in this area. And let's talk about different places you can make connections with to, like, start building the following for your choir and all these different things. So it's like kind of just getting you to think, you know, still be able to see your big vision as like a goal to reach, but being able to embrace where you are right now.
That's so good. See your big vision as the goal you can reach to, but embracing where you are right now.
Yeah, because that process is, there's a lot to learn in that process, you know, and a lot of people are in such a rush to get to where they want to go. But, you know, there's a lot of fun in literally just getting creative and being able to figure out, you know, what can I do today? What type of team can I build right now in the moment? Who can I make connections with? Like, how can I, you know, even if I have $50,000 to get started with right now, how can I make this happen with $5?
Right.
Or 15.
So getting kind of like a reframe almost. Like, okay, here's the big dream. It's there. How am I going to get that? You're almost doing the reverse engineering. Yeah. How do you get to that big dream but start with where you are?
Yeah.
And I love what you just said. What can I do today?
Yeah. What can you do today? Because there's always something. Because when you ask that question, it becomes more real for you because it's easy to dream. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we both are going to go to sleep tonight. We're probably going to have a dream. But when we wake up in the morning, we may not be able to make that dream come to life. You know, but what we can do, if hopefully that's a positive dream, is we can work towards that today. I tell people all the time, like, you know, when you have a dream about your dream vacation, you know, it's like it's a dream at that moment. But, you know, the dream starts with taking off from work, putting in the request, you know, then it starts with, you know, saving the money to go towards that, to start saving, to put money towards that big dream vacation
mm-hmm.
tomorrow, next week, or every 2 weeks that you get paid or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you know, the time is already taken off and you have it. It's been granted to you. The money has already been saved and you work to that point. It's the same way with entrepreneurship.
That is such a great analogy too, because everyone plans a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But what a great way to, you're almost breaking it down in digestible chunks to get to here, you need this first.
Yeah,
so what are, you said the barriers are often time and funding or resources.
Mm-hmm.
What are personal barriers that you see people encounter?
So personal barriers, like, simply put, a lot of people are just afraid to talk to people, afraid to make connections. It's very, very simple things. Like, you'll be surprised how many people have a fear of networking or just going out to just meet new people, and or afraid to ask for help, you know, afraid to ask somebody like, hey, you know, I'm trying to do this. I know you're an expert in this field, but, you know, I'm just a little guy trying to get into this field. You know, what steps should I take? A lot of people are paralyzed just by those simple things. And usually those small things are the things that hold them back from a long life of success.
So when you started your first business in 10th grade, mind you, when did you finally loop back and turn that into a, like you said earlier, a legal entity?
Yeah, so, you know, it was more so when, like, so we had been doing it for so long that it just felt natural. You know, like, my brother and I, the way we did it in high school was we got a camera, like, for Christmas. And, like, the camera for Christmas was, like, this Canon Rebel, like, T4i or something like that. And we were like, okay, so we have this, like, how can we make this into something bigger? So I started going out. So first, JT was the person who did the technical work. So he knew how to work the cameras. He knew how to edit. He knew how to do all these different things. So that left me here. Like, I guess I'm the person that has to go out and find the jobs. I'm the person that has to go out and make the connections. I'm the person that has to go out and ultimately make the money.
Right. You're doing the hard. You're making the ask and making the networks.
So eventually in high school, you know, I played football. So I would, a lot of the players on our team would need, like, highlight reels for, like, college, to be college prospects.
Mm-hmm.
People wanted to be recording artists, so they wanted music videos. And every now and then we get, like, somebody who wanted to, like, do a commercial or something. So I would, like, find those jobs, and JT, we, like, go and do these jobs together. And then, you know, we just literally kept working our way up, and that's exactly how we still run our company today. You know, I go out and, you know, I still get the jobs, I still get the contracts and do all these different things. But now, you know, we have a small studio. Now we have a team of, you know, almost like 15 to 20 people. And we still run it the same way we did when we were in 10th grade. It's just more, I just tell people, we just have more tax problems now.
So you still have the division of labor, but now you have all the legal entities that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
so cool. All right. So we've talked about Red Eye Film. Where did Savannah Underground get birthed out of that?
So Savannah Underground is a baby of Red Eye, you know?
Okay.
So we like to think of Red Eye as an entertainment company. So we specialize in filmmaking. We specialize in immersive experiences and video editing. We also have a viral podcast called The Most Haunted City on Earth. And that's just focusing on Savannah's, you know, dark history, telling the stories that, you know, have been documented here in Savannah and, you know, reenacting those things out of out to our audience. And, you know, that has over like 115,000 followers.
Whoa.
And I'm not as involved in that part just because I'm not all that into the scary stuff. But, you know, it's, you know, we saw the need for that specific niche audience here in Savannah. There's opportunity there. So we were able to say, like, hey, you know, we have the resources to tap into this market. We're already doing it with the underground. Let's, like, you know, let's entertain the heck out of some people here.
That's such a great one-liner, too. You saw the need and you took the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just being aware, like you said a second ago, that might be your big dream goal, but what can you do right here?
Yeah.
And then taking the time to pause and reflect and making sure you're filling that need.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. And that's something that, you know, I tell people all the time that when you're thinking about entrepreneurship, you have to know what kind of entrepreneur you are or what kind of entrepreneur you want to be. Like, you know, I build Red Eye from like the ground up, but, you know, throughout that process, I've learned a lot about myself. I'm not the entrepreneur that wants to build something from the ground up anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to be the type of person that, you know, finds an opportunity that's already existing, and I go in and I am that catalyst to help take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And that helps put somebody else out of a state of stagnation and give something a new energy and a new life. So that's my type of entrepreneurial style is, you know, no more building things up from the ground up, just only going in and helping people take what it is to the next level.
Be the catalyst. Well, that's an interesting thought perspective, too, because you think about it, some people are such great from the ground up builders.
Yeah.
And I think we all have to do our time at mm-hmm. that place.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think that's how you learn how to stack the bricks.
Yep.
But you're right, there is a shift where you don't necessarily want to start something from the ground up, but you're more than happy to come in mm-hmm. and be that catalyst that sparks the next big growth.
Exactly. And usually in entrepreneurship, that comes in a way of, you know, it could be buying a business from somebody who's just tired of being in business and they want to start something new. It can be you coming on as a partner with somebody who just needs your expertise, but they've already done the foundational work. You know, there's just so many different ways, and that's something that I'm big about letting people know. It's just because, you know, a lot of people have that misconception that you have to be the person to start from the bottom up, but sometimes the groundwork has already been laid for you, and sometimes it's just your skills and your abilities or even your personality is what's needed to take something to the next level.
Wow, that opens up so many opportunities for people definitely. That are sitting there thinking, because I think entrepreneurship is also... It's a mentality in mm-hmm. a way
yeah.
where you are able to have the thought process to work independently or by yourself.
Yeah.
Where you it's just such an interesting that's why I love whenever I get to see you to see what you're mm-hmm. working on or what cool thing you're processing, because you have that really awesome, unique mindset of I'm gonna look at this from a different perspective almost and see how I can it's not just showing up for a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
It's a very creative life endeavor.
Very creative.
But that's so good. A lot of people have the misconception it has to be the ground up.
Yeah.
But there could be some place that your entrepreneurial zeal mm-hmm. could spark a fire.
Exactly, yeah, because everything, like, entrepreneurship is hard. It is hard. And when you're building it up from the ground up, it can be even harder because there's a lot of times where you don't know where, you know, resources are going to come from. You don't know if you're going to have the help that you need. But, you know, that's usually because the only way you're thinking about it is from that perspective. It's mm-hmm. like, I have to do this from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of it like, huh, you know, I'm going to start going out and reaching out to different people who are already in business. Or I'm going to, you know, go talk to a local business that I frequent all the time and see what their needs are mm-hmm. and see how I can help fill those needs. And then just seeing what type of opportunities generate from there. You know, that's how I'm here.
That's how you're at the cafe.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly how I'm here.
So that goes back to those original things that you almost have to get past the barriers. Not just where's your funding and what are the legal entities, but the getting out there and asking, getting out there and networking and figuring out where the hole is.
Yes, because what I like to say is that, like, whatever you don't have can be made up for in other ways. So, for example, I don't have a ton of money. You know, but I have a ton of great resources and people that I know who I can help and they can help me. That's a resource. That's capital. It's not physical paper money, but eventually it will turn into that.
Yeah.
You know, you can build something from that. And, you know, it's like if you know you don't have the money, you know, but you know you can put in the work, go find somebody who will let you put in the work and watch what's born from that.
Be the worker bee. I always love that, yeah, that mentality.
Yeah.
This is so helpful. And it's exciting for people who are listening that have always been afraid to take the step. Or mm-hmm. someone that, like, if you're not an entrepreneurial mindset, but you have friends like that or a partner like that. My husband's so funny because he's such a 9-to-5er. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's a workaholic, but he's also a 9-to-5er.
Yeah.
And he thinks I'm crazy because I'm just always, ooh, what's this next project? Mm-hmm. Ooh, how will this project connect? Because my mind is bouncy like that.
Yeah. And you have to have that balance. Like, mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, like, it's easy when you're talking about entrepreneurship. It's easy to sound like you're being negative against people who have a 9-to-5 job, but honestly, when you get into entrepreneurship, you start to realize that a 9-to-5 sounds a lot better than doing the things that you're doing right now. So it's just like if you're working a 9-to-5 and you know that you love that, it's like own that. And we all just kind of balance each other out in a way. So
I think that's key too, like the balance and finding your people.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be surprised, like a lot of people who work like the 9-to-5 jobs or just the regular, they live the regular normal lifestyle, which is okay.
Super awesome and amazing
too. It's just like they bring a lot of good ideas to the table. You'd mm-hmm. be surprised. A lot of my friends who work 9-to-5 jobs, they bring me like concepts and things all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, like, this is not happening in my job. Like, I'm sure you can probably find a solution to this. And I'm just like, cool. You know, that's a great perspective because they're there all the time for mm-hmm. over 40 hours a week. So they know what the problems are in their job. And the great thing is you want to be the person that they know that can solve this problem.
I love that. Yeah. Be the person that everybody knows will be a problem solver.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about how you got your start as an entrepreneur, how you are currently helping other entrepreneurs find their path and jump off the board and get started. When are you going back to law school?
So I've been studying for the LSAT, you know, all this time, not as much as I should, but, you know, I was registered to take it in April, but I pushed it back until like August. So I'm going to take it in August, whether I'm ready or not.
Okay, I'll hold you to that.
I mean, yeah. And then, you know, we'll see. The good thing is that, like, I'm not in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good position to be in. It's just mm-hmm. like, you know, a lot of people in undergrad were, like, super pressed to, like, hurry up and take it because they wanted to go right out of school. I'm not in a rush to spend $120,000 mm-hmm. in school. So.
Right.
But I still want to go. Ideally, I want to go and I can pay for it out of pocket. And also, I want to be able to thoroughly enjoy the process of being, you know, in school and figuring out what creative opportunities I can find in law school, because I'm sure that there's a lot of ways I can help streamline the process mm-hmm. of law school. So that's one of the processes
you're a process person. You like mm-hmm. that whole, how do I get through this process? How do I make the process better? How do I make a product at the end of a process that's more enjoyable?
Yeah, and that's just how I find success in those different things. Like when I was at Florida State, you know, the way I knew I wasn't a strong student. But I knew that, like, if I was the person that, you know, recorded my lectures, took great notes, you know, transcribed those for students and sold them for $50 each, that after I did that a bunch of times, by the end of the process, I'd be fully equipped and ready for any exam that was going to be thrown at me. So
nice.
I did that throughout school.
What a great
and
way to capitalize your thoughts.
You made money and you passed. You make money and you studied, thoroughly studied.
So cool.
And that's you just got to find what works for you, you know? And I'm just that type of person. If it's not working for me at the moment, I just got to get creative and figure out how to make it work for me. And that's what I'm good at.
That's a great line right there. Mm-hmm. That's just that one-liner as well. I mean, I already have 4 pages of notes over here. But getting creative instead of just, oh, this is a problem, and whining about it or getting frustrated at it, which I do think there's some, you know, emotional release when you get frustrated.
Yeah.
But instead of just letting that happen and beat yourself over the head every day, find a creative solution.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the fun part.
That's the fun part. A little scary sometimes, but always fun in the end.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very productive. Oh, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for sharing this. We have to go to the end of show questions. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
I'm really interested to hear. I'm guessing you're going to say part of the latest book you've read is studying for the LSAT, but what other types of books, or what's your favorite book, anything like that?
So right now I'm reading The Black, the White, and the Gray, and that's by Mashama Bailey, and it's also by Jano Morsano, who are both owners and partners of the popular restaurant here, The Gray, here in Savannah. So it's just been good reading that book to hear about their story, and I'll tell you why, because we just talked about like partnerships and things over here. But Mashama Bailey is a famous chef here, and she has a business partner, Jano, and they just talked about their story and how, you know, Jano was a real estate, he was an investor here looking to start like a new life and figure out what he wanted to do next. So he invested into this old segregated bus station here in Savannah, and he wanted to figure out what to do with it. So he decided to turn it into a restaurant. But he realized that to turn it into a restaurant, he needed a chef because he had no restaurant experience. So he talked about the process of going out to actually find a chef.
Yeah.
And he wanted to put a story to the place. So what better way to do that other than taking an old segregated bus station and getting like a black woman chef to lead that place? And that's what he did. And they talked about their story and the different ups and downs of, you know, them being like the, like a very different business partner relationship and things like that. And that's just been a very, very interesting story because, you know, I myself have, you know, a similar story, and it's like, that's like, that was just a good story.
That is awesome.
So you guys should check it out.
I'll make sure to put the link, and I'm probably going to go get that book. Yeah. This is a great restaurant. If you ever come to Savannah, you have to go to The Gray.
Great. Yeah, so after you read it, we got to talk about it.
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, who or what is inspiring you right now? You
probably tell from my post, but I'm a big fan of Deion Sanders. Like, he keeps me inspired. Deion Sanders also went to Florida State, by the way. But he's big into, like, leadership and to, like, you know, he likes taking things. He took like Jackson State University, which is a HBCU here in the South, and he kind of turned that program around. He like used his like, you know, he could have been coaching anywhere, but he decided to go to the school that needed it the most, and he brought tons of resources there. And now they're in a better position, and now he's off coaching in Colorado. So it's like, you know, he took a leap of faith to help bring somebody else up, and then he went back and did his own thing, and now he's at Colorado State helping build them up as well.
That's awesome. Okay, I will definitely put a link to probably social or something for that one.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, what is an organization that you would like to illuminate?
An organization?
I feel like this is going to be hard for you because you volunteer all over town.
Yeah, an organization I would like to illuminate would be... So there's a program here called the Citizen Advocacy Group, and it's one I've been looking to join, and I hope to have the opportunity to join it sometime soon. But they help like people who are traditionally seen as people who are ostracized in the community, and they help normalize their life.
Wow.
So people who have like different special needs, and I don't know, I hope I'm using the right terminology there, and they help them live more of a normal life, more as equal to what we're doing right now as possible.
Okay, so how do you get involved in something like that?
So there's honestly a lot of different people in town who are citizen advocates and things like that, and they spend a lot of time going out to find people who are looking to, you know, make a friend and help them live normal lives.
Oh, that is cool.
And be an advocate for them.
I'll include that link too. That's incredible. Look at this variety already. Just, this is the coolest thing, how you are able to touch so many different aspects because of the way your entrepreneurial zest and spirit impacts our city. We're so lucky you're here. All right.
I'm happy to be here.
Last question. What is the one thing you want the listener to walk away from this episode? The thing you want to illuminate out into the world?
Yeah, so no matter if you're working a 9-to-5 job, no matter if you're an entrepreneur, no matter if you're just like, you know, waking up and just trying to find your way every day, you know, just always understand and know that there's opportunity everywhere, and it's just up to you to uncover those different things that are out there. You have to be the person that's willing to take action and, you know, create the life that you want. And that's what I want people to know, because there's a lot of opportunity out there.
This is awesome. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to do it.
All right, friends, what do you think? You ready to get out there and create the life that you want? Find opportunities, create the chain reaction. Do something today so you can achieve your dreams tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to the Illuminate Podcast. If you get a moment, like and review us. Shoot us a message over on the social media platforms. Let us know what you want to hear next. You matter, my friend. We are so glad that you are on this planet illuminating it. And I'll see you next time on the Illuminate Podcast.